بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد معدن الجود والكرم وآله وبارك وسلم صلاة وسلام عليك سيدي يا رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليك وسلم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Before we begin the gathering, I request that those who don't require the support of the walls should please come closer towards the majlis, inshallah. Bring yourself closer towards Imam Sahib. Bring yourself closer towards our fountain of knowledge, inshallah. And you'll be able to benefit further from him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you all the best of health and iman. For the beginning of the gathering, inshallah, we will call a student of our madrasa. You all must be aware of who he is. He led you all in Taraweeh this year and last year. Last year as well? Yeah. Both years he's led you in Taraweeh. So we call Hafiz Ayan Darbar, inshallah, for the recitation of the Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون الذي جعل لكم الأرض فراشا والسماء بناء وأنزل من السماء ماء فأخرج به من الثمرات رزقا لكم فلا تجعلوا لله أندادا وأنتم تعلمون وإن كنتم في ريب مما نزلنا على عبدنا فأتوا بسورة من مثله وادعوا شهداءكم من دون الله إن كنتم صادقين فإن لم تفعلوا ولن تفعلوا فاتقوا النار التي وقودها الناس والحجارة أعدت للكافرين وبشر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات أن لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار كلما رزقوا منها من ثمرة رزقا قالوا هذا الذي رزقنا من قبل وأتوا به متشابها ولهم فيها أزواج مطهرة وهم فيها خالدون إن الله لا يستحي أن يضرب مثلا ما بعوضة فما فوقها فأما الذين آمنوا فيعلمون أنه الحق من ربهم وأما الذين كفروا فيقولون ماذا أراد الله بهذا مثلا يضل به كثيرا ويهدي به به كثيرا وما يضل به إلا الفاسقين الذين ينقضون عهد الله من بعد ميثاقه ويقطعون ما أمر الله به أن يوصل ويفسدون في الأرض أولئك هم الخاسرون كيف تكفرون بالله وكنتم أمواتا فأحياكم ثم يميتكم ثم يحييكم ثم إليه ترجعون هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا ثم استوى إلى السماء فسواهن سبع سماوات وهو بكل شيء عليم وإذ قال ربك للملائكة إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة قالوا أتجعل فيها من يفسد فيها ويسفك الدماء ونحن نسبح بحمدك ونقدس لك قال إني أعلم ما لا تعلمون وعلم آدم الأسماء كلها ثم عرضهم على الملائكة فقال أنبئوني بأسماء هؤلاء إن كنتم صادقين قالوا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم قال يا آدم أنبئهم بأسمائهم فلما أنبأهم بأسمائهم قال ألم أقل لكم إني أعلم غيب السماوات والأرض وأعلم ما تبدون وما كنتم تكتمون وإذ قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى واستكبر وكان من الكافرين صدق الله العظيم
ما شاء الله beautiful recitation of the Quran from the first juz by Hafiz Ayan ما شاء الله now we'll call somebody else who also listened to Arabic last year and this year as well MashaAllah, Hafiz Ubaid Chokwala, you all are aware of him. He'll come to recite a few verses of Nad or Mankabat, whoever he wants to, inshaAllah.
صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله وسلم عليك يا حبيب الله This is not the response I expected. Please, everyone, recite with me. Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulallah wa sallam alayka ya Habiballah چمک تجھ سے پاتے ہیں سب پانے والے mera dil bhi chamka de chamkane wale chamak tujhse paate hai sab paane wale chamak tujhse paate hai sab paane wale chamak tujhse paate hai sab paane wale mera dil bhi chamka de chamkane wale mera dil bhi chamka de ne wale barsta nahi dekh kar abre rahmat barsta nahi dekh kar abre rahmat badon par bhi barsa de barsane wale badon par bhi barsa de barsane wale mera dil bhi kane wale madine ke khite khuda tujhko rakhe madine ke khite khuda tujhko rakhe gareebon faqeeron ke tehrane wale غریبوں فقیروں کے ٹھہرانے والے میرا دل بھی چمکا دے والے تو زندہ ہے واللہ 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 میرے چشم عالم سے چھپ جانے والے میرے چشم عالم سے چھپ جانے والے چمک تجھ سے پاتے ہیں سب پانے والے میرا دل بھی چمکا دے چمکانے والے
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم صلاة وسلام عليك سيدي يا رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليك وسلم We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who's allowed us to gather in His masjid, in His house for His praise, for His remembrance and for the remembrance of His messengers alayhim as-salam. Thereafter we send countless peace, blessings and salutations upon the best of creation, the jewel of mankind, the coolness to our hearts and eyes, Muhammad, the elect messenger of God, upon him and his family be peace and blessings. First and foremost, Happy New Year to everybody. It's the first of Muharram today, as many of you have heard, in Jum'ah. This marks the beginning of a new year in the Islamic calendar, in the lunar calendar, in the Hijri calendar. We are now in 1447 Hijri, which marks the event when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated from Makkah to Mukarramah, his birthplace, to the blessed city of Medina, where he is now resting till today. And this migration is marked by this calendar. So we remember this event that takes place. But there's another reason why we have gathered today, and that is for the reason of remembering the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The messenger in particular today will be speaking about Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, also known as Noah, the Prophet Noah. So in English we say Noah, in Arabic we say Nuh. In my speech I'll be using both of these words. Okay, I'll say Nuh and I'll say Noah, just depending on the way that I'm speaking, inshallah. First and foremost, who is Prophet Nuh alayhi salam? Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, from what we know and from what we have heard from the Mufassirin, the scholars of tafsir, they tell us he is perhaps the fourth prophet to have been sent to this world. Meaning you have Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. After Sayyidina Adam, you have Sayyidina Shif. After him, we have Sayyidina Idris. And then it's mentioned that after Sayyidina Idris, a couple generations later, we had Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. So he's perhaps the fourth prophet to have been sent to this world. And Prophet Nuh alayhi salam is amongst the great prophets. Amongst the prophets, we have ranks. And amongst the highest ranking prophets, we have five. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this in a hadith. And he says that amongst the greatest messengers are five. There is Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, Prophet Musa alayhi salam, Prophet Isa alayhi salam, and finally Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being the king of the Anbiya. So we have Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, who is the first prophet mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith. That amongst the great messengers, Prophet Nuh alayhi salam is from amongst the great messengers. And there's reason for this. Perhaps many of us only know that Prophet Nuh alayhi salam built the ark and they traveled, you know, there's the flood in the world. But aside from that, what else do we know about Prophet Nuh alayhi salam? Not much, probably. So inshallah, today we'll spend some time going through his story and the lessons we can learn from his life. Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, he is known as Adam Uthani, the second Adam. The second Adam. Why? Prophet Adam alayhi salam, from him humanity came. Through his lineage and through his offspring did we have humanity. But then obviously we know that in the flood that took place during the time of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, all of mankind was again destroyed, and there was only a few believers in Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. Now Allah Hazrat mentions in the Malfuzat, or it's mentioned in the Malfuzat of Allah Hazrat, that Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, from amongst his children, or from amongst all the believers on the boat, only the children of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, only their offspring continued forward. Meaning everybody here, we are all Adami, meaning we are all from the offspring of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, and we are also all from the offspring of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam as well. Okay, and this goes for every single one of us today. Everybody today is from the lineage also from Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. But what time did he come? He didn't come straight after Prophet Adam. He didn't come straight after Prophet Shith. He didn't come straight after Prophet Idris. It's mentioned by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's mentioned in a hadith that somebody asked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam regarding how long was it between Prophet Adam and Prophet Nuh. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, 10 qurun. Now the muhaddithin, they mentioned that qurun comes from the word qarn. Qarn means, it can mean a century. And by that basis, it means there's 1,000 years between the demise of Prophet Adam a.s. and the birth of Prophet Nuh a.s. 1,000 years. Other scholars mentioned it could be longer. It could be that one qarn doesn't refer to 100 years, but refers to an entire generation. And during those times, their lives were very long. Some of the people during those days used to live for centuries, hundreds and hundreds of years. We know Prophet Adam alayhi salam lived for hundreds of years. Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, as you will come to know, lived for nearly a millennia, lived for nearly 1,000 years. So, regarding the time between Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam and Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, there's at least 1,000 years. At least, the very least is 1,000 years. Now, Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, It is mentioned regarding him that he is amongst those servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that constantly remembered him in the best way. The Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, he had a very, very tough nation to deal with. Every prophet alayhi salam was sent to the correct nation, meaning the way the nation were, the way their mentality was, the way their psyche was, the way they used to deal with one another, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the perfect prophet for each nation. Okay, meaning to say that if you look at Prophet Musa alayhi salam, if you look at the way his personality was perfect for the nation that he was sent to. Same with Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, he is known as amongst those servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who were extremely patient. Extremely, extremely patient. And there's a reason for this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him to a nation that were amongst the most ignorant people. These people were so ignorant that Prophet Nuh alayhi salam preached to them for 950 years. 950 years Prophet Nuh alayhi salam preached to his people, and amongst those people, roughly 80 people accepted Islam. So for 950 years he was preaching, but only 80 accepted Islam. This is why he's known as amongst one of the most patient prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because imagine for 900 years you're preaching constantly the same message. You don't do it the same way as well. It's mentioned that Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, publicly he would preach, privately he would preach. Then he would try different tactics, he would try different strategies. He would try to interest people into Islam. He would try to make people, you know, think about Islam more. And then he would also use tactics where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to tell the people about the punishment of Jahannam, warn the people about Jahannam. Meaning he used every tactic he had. And amongst all of these tactics, after using this for over 900 years, only 80 accepted Islam. So this is why he is known as amongst those servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is the most patient. Our lives are like what? After 2-3 days of doing something, we give up. We say, you know what, it's not working. After 2 days of trying something, we say, yeah, I didn't see any benefit in it. Or there was nothing came out of it. And so we just leave it. But look at the life of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. 950 years he spent calling people towards Islam, calling people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he did not give up once. Our personalities are such that if something, the moment we try something, and if something, a hurdle comes in front of us, or something stops us, straight away we decide, yeah, you know what, leave it. It's not for me. But it's the opposite mentality. We should have the mentality of the prophets alayhi salam. The Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, that after 950 years, he was constantly preaching. And eventually, obviously, we know that the prophets alayhi salam, they are guaranteed paradise. So Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, it's not like, you know, he had to do anything else. All he had to do was one thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to do, so just to preach to the people, make them aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet us, when we have any difficulty in our lives, straight away we give up. So we should have the opposite mentality. We should have the mentality where if a difficulty comes in our lives, be like the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. You are forbearing. You are steadfast. You remain firm on that path. Especially for those of us with Iman. That there will come times within our lives when our Iman will be questioned. Our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will go up and down. Our Iman goes up and down. Meaning sometimes we have a moment where we feel very, very energetic regarding the religion. Other times we feel the opposite. But we shouldn't let the shaitan, nor should we let any obstacle come into our way of achieving salvation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We shouldn't let any obstacle come in front of us when it comes to attaining that closeness to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should keep persevering, keep fighting, have that constant battle with the shaitan. That's what we have. We have these two battles, one with shaitan and one with the nafs. But don't ever let these two overcome you. Do not ever let the dunya overcome you. Always keep on the path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set us on. It's mentioned regarding Prophet Nuh alayhi salam that whenever he would do anything, any action he would perform, whether it be eating, whether it be drinking, whether it be using the washroom, whether it be doing some sort of work, whatever it may be, it's mentioned that Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, after eating, after drinking, after any action, he would always say Alhamdulillah. Every single action he would perform, he would say Alhamdulillah. And this is the habit of all the Anbiya alayhi salam. That every single Nabi and every single messenger that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent, All of them had the habit of praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and showing gratitude to him. It's mentioned that Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, after he would relieve himself, he would make a dua and he would say, all praise is due to Allah who enabled me to taste food and preserved the benefit of this food in my body and removed the harm from me. Meaning, even after relieving himself, he would mention this dua. He would say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all praise to him. He blessed me with food. He allowed me to taste food. He allowed my body to retain the nutrients and the minerals from this food. And he also allowed my body to remove the harm from this food as well. I mean, this was how grateful he was to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these small, small things. We are normally thankful. We normally say Alhamdulillah when a big thing happens. When a child is born, we say Alhamdulillah. When we achieve a promotion, we achieve a raise, we say Alhamdulillah. Or when something big happens, we say Alhamdulillah. But we forget about these small, small things. Even these small things that we have, whether it be the fact that you have shoes to wear, the fact that you have clothes to wear, the fact that you have, you know, even glasses to wear as well to perfect your eyesight. We should be constantly remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying Alhamdulillah. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells in the hadith, خَيْرُ الدُّعَاءِ Alhamdulillah. The most beautiful and the greatest dua we have is saying Alhamdulillah. Saying all praise belongs to Allah. It's mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within the Quran, he uses the term, كَانَ إِنَّهُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. They say that indeed he was a very grateful servant. And this term, Abdan Shakura, or Abdan Shakuran, refers to Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he didn't use the word Shakir. He didn't use the word someone who is thankful. He used the word Shakur. Shakur means someone who is constantly, perpetually in the state of thankfulness. Meaning Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam achieved this rank. He wasn't thankful once or twice in his life. He was constantly, constantly, perpetually, always in the state of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and perpetually in the state of giving thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This perpetual thanks wasn't just verbally. He didn't just verbally always say Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. But he manifested this within his body as well. He manifested this Alhamdulillah within his psyche, with his mentality, spiritually, mentally, physically. He was Alhamdulillah. He was always constantly thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored Prophet Nuh alayhi salam so much that he sends peace upon Prophet Nuh alayhi salam within the Quran. He says, Salamun ala Nuhin fil alameen. That peace be upon Nuh within the entire universe. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Prophet Nuh alayhi salam within the Quran. Now regarding his nation. Before Prophet Nuh alayhi salam was sent to his nation, and after the rising of Prophet Idris alayhi salam, because you see also Prophet Idris alayhi salam, he was taken to the skies. So when he was taken to the skies, the people, they were established upon Iman. They had faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And amongst these people, there were five great people. There were five pious people, five salihin. And these five are mentioned within the Quran as well. The names being Wad, Suwa', Yaghuth, Ya'uq, and Nasr. These five are mentioned within the Quran, and they are known as five salihin, five pious people amongst the nation, before the coming of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. These five people, they worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot. They praised Him a lot, they worshipped Him a lot. They were known as great people, pious people. And eventually, as the life of humans, we come to an end. So these five individuals, they eventually passed away. Now when they passed away, the people were visibly very upset. As we would be if somebody pious from our community passed away, we would be upset as well. So these people, they were also upset. And in their sadness, shaitan approached them. And it's mentioned, this is mentioned in Tafsir Ruh al-Bayan and many other Tafsir books as well. The shaitan came to them and he asked them, that you know how you miss these people so much? I can make for you a statue. Or I can make for you an idol that looks exactly like that. And I can keep it for you in your masjid. And the people said, no, we don't want it in the masjid. So shaitan said, I can keep it in the back of the masjid. And they said, you know what, in the back of the masjid is fine. So shaitan, he created statues of these five individuals and he placed him in the back of the masjid. Then eventually, as time went on, and generations after generation passed, it came to a point where the entire city, the entire town, everybody had a statue in their home. And then, at that stage, people were still worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they kept these statues to remember the pious people. But then, after generation and generation, eventually the people began to forget who these people were, and they began to worship them instead. And they forgot about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning amongst mankind, these were amongst the first mushrikeen, the first polytheists, for the first of those to worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they had statues to commemorate and remember their idols or their these pious people. Now it was in this situation, when shirk became prevalent, when polytheism, the association of partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when this became common, that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his messenger Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. He sent his messenger Nuh alayhi salam to these people, and Prophet Nuh alayhi salam began to publicly preach his prophethood, as is mentioned by the Mufassireen, roughly at the age of 40, similar to the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They began to preach to the people publicly at the age of 40. And he preached in many ways, as we mentioned before, publicly and privately, day and night. He created interest in the people. He tried to make them inclined towards Islam, and he also gave them warnings. But nothing that Prophet Nuh alayhi salam did could influence the people. These people were not inspired. They were not given hope by anything that Prophet Nuh alayhi salam said. Instead, these people, they resorted to threats. They resorted to violence. They resorted to insults. And there were many, many, you could say conversations that took place between Prophet Nuh alayhi salam and the chiefs amongst his people. Amongst these conversations, and an important note for us, is that amongst the faithful, those who had iman, roughly only a few, amongst them, majority of them were the poor people. Majority of those who accepted Islam at the hands of Nuh alayhi salam, they were those who had very little means. They weren't rich. They weren't very powerful either. So, one conversation that Prophet Nuh alayhi salam had with the chiefs said that it seems that your religion is a religion only for the poor people. And Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, he replied by saying that this religion, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is for all of creation. Whether you are rich or poor, it is for everybody. Everybody must worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether you are rich, whether you are poor, whether you are powerful, whether you are weak, whether you have a high rank in society or you have a low rank in society, regardless of who you may be, everybody must be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now these chiefs, you know, after giving him much grief, giving him much pain, giving him many insults, they said to Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, let's have a deal. That you and your followers, get rid of your followers. Tell them to go away. Tell them, the poor people, tell them to go away. And then us rich people, we will come amongst your followers. And again, Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, you know, if you and I were in this situation, we've been preaching for hundreds of years, and eventually we've got a deal that's come to us, and it's favorable, in the sense that these rich people who are powerful, the leaders of society, if they were to accept Islam, then perhaps the rest of people would accept Islam as well. But the only cost is, they have to get rid of my current followers. Now Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, this is why he is known as the forbearing prophet. The prophet who is extremely patient. Even in this situation, preaching for hundreds of years, dealing with their grief, dealing with their sorrows, dealing with whatever insults they hurled towards him, he still rejected the offer. He said that Islam is not restricted to the rich. Islam is not restricted to the poor. Islam is a religion for all. Because every single creation has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every single creation has a right to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether you are poor or rich. So these chiefs, and Prophet Nuh alayhi salam knew that these people were only trying to get rid of the poor people, they would never accept Islam themselves. And so Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, he continued preaching for many, many more centuries. And then eventually, it's mentioned in Bukhari that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions about Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. And this is the reason why this ummah is so special. The ummah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will be an ummah which even the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam will ask for us on Yawm al-Qiyamah. As is mentioned in Bukhari, in the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Nuh alayhi salam will come and his nation will come with him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask Prophet Nuh alayhi salam that, did you convey the message? And Prophet Nuh alayhi salam will reply, yes, I conveyed the message of Islam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask his nation, the old nation of Prophet Nuh, did he preach and convey the message of Islam to you? But the nation of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, they will be so ignorant and so, you know, ill-minded that even in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah, they will lie to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they will say to him that, no, Prophet Nuh alayhi salam did not convey the message of Islam to us. And so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will declare that, O Nuh, will anybody come to testify for you? And Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam will reply by saying, Muhammad and his nation will testify that I'm a messenger and I conveyed my message. Meaning we will be the ones to convey on Yawm al-Qiyamah, we will testify that Prophet Nuh alayhi salam conveyed the message of Islam to his nation. We will be those people. Because we are from amongst the nation, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi salam. So we will speak on behalf of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. We will testify for him. We will testify that yes, Prophet Nuh alayhi salam conveyed the message correctly to his people. But it was only his people who were ignorant and they denied the message of Islam. And then eventually it came to a stage where Prophet Nuh alayhi salam received revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, O Nuh, the people that have accepted Islam, they have accepted Islam. And those that are remaining, those that have disbelieved, they remain upon disbelief. Meaning, nobody now will accept Islam. The people who have disbelieved, they will remain on the disbelief. The people who have believed, they will remain in their belief as well. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded to build an ark, a ship. And he mentioned, and the tafsir mentions, that Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, he was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to plant certain seeds. And these seeds were planted, and it took 20 years for these seeds to grow. And when they became trees, then he was commanded to cut these trees down and make a ship out of these trees. As he was building this ark, it took 2 years. 2 years to build this ship. Because it wasn't a small boat. The Mufassirin and the Muhaddithin, they both have very varying opinions. Some say the ship was about 20 yards long, some say 100 yards long, some say even 300 yards long. Meaning, it was an extremely long boat, and it was quite deep, and it was quite wide as well. So the Mufassirin and Muhaddithin, they differ on their opinions regarding how big the boat was. All we need to understand is that the ship was very large, very, very big. And it took 2 years for Prophet Nuh alayhi salam to build this ship. As he was building this ship, still he did not receive any respite from his people. His nation, they began to insult him, they began to question him. They said, Oh Nuh, there is no water for miles. Why are you building a ship? And Prophet Nuh alayhi salam replies by saying that I am building a ship because soon there will come a flood. The people, they began to laugh at him, they began to insult him, and they left him to do what he was doing. And eventually, after 2 years, the ship was built. And it's mentioned this ship had three floors. There's the bottom floor, the middle floor, and the top floor. But it's encased on the top as well. And the bottom floor was for animals, for beasts, for cattle. The middle floor was for the humans, for the believers. And the top floor was where they kept food and they kept the birds. Obviously the fish, there was water, so they stayed in the water. They need to come into the shore. They need to come into the boat. But every other animal, it's mentioned in the books of Tafsir, the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, he would take each animal and he would take them onto the boat. He would take a male and a female of every single species and he would keep them onto the ark. And it's mentioned by some of the Mufassirin that when the flood took place, there's varying opinions. One opinion we have amongst the scholars, the flood was across the entire globe. Another opinion we have amongst the scholars, The flood was a localized flood, meaning in that geographical area, the Persian area and the entire Arab area, that's where the entire flood took place. But it wasn't a small flood still. Even with this opinion that we have, it was a huge flood in that area as well. So either way, there was a huge flood that took place. And Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, he took pairs of every single animal onto this boat. He also took his family members. Amongst his family members, there were six. Three of his sons and their wives. So you had Sam, Ham, and Yafith. These were three of his sons. He had another son called Kana'an. Kana'an was a disbeliever. So he did not come onto the boat. And it's mentioned that Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, he wasn't aware that Kana'an was a disbeliever at this time. Because Kana'an, on the apparent, he acted like he was a Muslim. He acted like he believed in Islam. So on the apparent, Prophet Nuh alayhi salam would also invite him onto the boat. But we know in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells Prophet Nuh alayhi salam that Kana'an was a disbeliever and there's no salvation for him now. So these three sons, Sam, Ham, and Yafith, these were the three sons of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam on the boat, and they came with their wives. Now it's mentioned that the humankind, you know how we have different ethnicities, different races. We have those who are dark in their skin, those who are light in their skin, and those who have different, you know, ethnicities essentially. It's mentioned that these ethnicities came from the sons of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. It's mentioned that Sam was known as Abu al-Arab. It was from his generation and from his progeny came the Arabs. It's mentioned from Ham, from his progeny came the Africans. And from the progeny of Yafith came the Europeans. But this is a minor opinion. Another opinion is mentioned that from the generation and the progeny of Sam came the Arabs and also the Persians and also the Romans. And from the progeny of Ham came the Turks, so the Turkish people, especially those meaning referring to Eastern Asia as well. So Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, the ethnicity and the ethnic group in this area came from the lineage of Ham. And it's also mentioned by some Mufassirin, from his lineage also comes Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Okay? Ya'juj and Ma'juj are not aliens and they are not some random creatures. They are humanoid creatures, it's mentioned, with shield-like faces. Which is why some of the scholars mentioned they also resemble those who look like those from Eastern Asia. Okay, obviously, we don't know where they are. We don't know too many details about them. What we do know from the Mufassirin is that some of them say Ya'juj and Ma'juj came from the lineage of Ham. And finally, Yafith, it's agreed upon that from his lineage came those who were the darker complexion. I mean, those from the lands of Africa, Northern Africa, South Africa, the entire area of Africa, majority of them came from the lineage of Yafith. So this is how we have different groups and different categories amongst us. But it's an important point for us to bear in mind that all of these different ethnic groups came from one, Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, and his three sons, Sam, Ham, and Yafith. Meaning, sometimes within us we have an instilled sense of racism towards one another. That we said, oh, you know, because he's got a darker complexion, he's lower in category, he's lower in rank. And somebody who's of a lighter complexion, he's of a higher rank. This is mentally been built into a lot of people. And not to point any fingers, but especially amongst our community, we do tend to point a lot of the fingers towards other races. We tend to say, you know, if he's got a darker complexion, he's probably a lower rank. And even when it comes to looking for potentials in marriage, we say that the wife has to be light-skinned, she can't be dark-skinned. We have all these conditions applied. But one thing we must understand, we all come from Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam. Every single one of us, whether you are black, white, Asian, African, whatever you may be, we all come from Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, and he has come from Prophet Adam alayhi salam. We are all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all stem from one point. That point being our father Adam alayhi salam and our mother Hawa radiallahu anha, and then Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam and his lineage. We all come from there. This whole thing that we have between one another, that he's Pakistani, he's Indian, he's Bengali, this doesn't exist in Islam. It doesn't exist at all. We all come from the same ancestor. Even when it comes to ranks we have in society, I'm not too aware of how it is back home. But, you know, we say that this guy is from this family, so he has a higher rank. This guy's from that family, or this caste, so he's from this rank. We can't marry into this caste, we can't marry into that caste. Completely against the teaching of Islam. And we have this constantly embedded into us by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He himself informs us, there's no such Arab, and there's no Arab, and there's no non-Arab. Meaning, one does not have superiority over the other. And he also mentioned another riwayah, there's no black, no white. I mean, no black person superiority over a black, over a white person. And no white person superiority over a black person. Everybody's equal in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who have a higher rank are those who have higher ranks due to taqwa, due to piety, due to closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning those who have that closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are obedient to Him, those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are those who have the higher rank. Whether they be black, white, Asian, whatever color they may be, if they have that close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are those with the high rank. This is a lesson we have from the life of Nuh alayhi salam and his children, that his children were of all colors, yet they were still the children of Nuh alayhi salam. Now the ark, they all gone into the ark, and they all sat in the ark, and then when they, all the believers and all the animals, when they entered into the ark, it's mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the earth to release all of his water. And water began to gush out from every single orifice on the earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the skies to rain, to pour down everything they had. So the skies opened and rain began to pour down as much as possible. It's mentioned that it has never rained like that before, and it will never ever rain like that ever again. This rain was never before seen and will never be seen again. The amount of rain there was, it was, you know, unimaginable. It's mentioned there was so much rain that Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, when they were on the ark would go above the mountains, and the water level would rise above the mountains. That's how high, that's how much water there was. And it's mentioned that when Nuh alayhi salam, when he boarded the ark, he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As mentioned in the Quran, he says, وَقَالَ ارْكَبُوا فِيهَا بِسْمِ اللَّهِ مَجْرَيْهَا وَمُرْسَاهَا إِنَّ رَبِّي لَغَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Embark upon it. He says, embark on the ark. It's sailing and it's stopping is from the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, our Lord Allah is the most, is Almighty. He's the most forgiving and the most merciful. And look at this. The whilst the believers were safe in the ark, they were shown the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they were forgiven. They were shown mercy. But at the same time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was showing mercy to these believers, He's enacting His wrath upon the disbelievers. At the same time. So this is, you know, an understanding that we have of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He's not like the human beings when it comes to emotions. That we can't be happy and angry at the same time. We can't show mercy and punish somebody at the same time. This is unique to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These attributes are unlike ours. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while showing mercy to the believers, He is also enacting His wrath upon the disbelievers. And it's mentioned it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. For 40 days and 40 nights, there was constant torrential downpour. And it's mentioned the wind was so strong that the waves that were created by the water, the waves were larger than mountains as well. I mean, these waves were absolutely humongous. And the ark of Nuh alayhi salam, through all of this, remain safe. Again, this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we look at ships today, look how grand our ships are. We have cruise ships, we have ships for cargo. Absolutely humongous ships. But if the tide goes the wrong way, or if the waves go the wrong way, the ship could capsize, the ship could break. But the ark of Nuh alayhi salam, it survived. It survived the most harshest of conditions. This is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the water levels began to rise, the son of Nuh alayhi salam, Kan'an, the one who was a disbeliever, see, that Nuh alayhi salam called out towards him and said, "Oh my son, come onto the ark. Do not be with the disbelievers. Save yourself and be amongst the believers." But Kan'an, you know, even seeing the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of his own eyes, he saw the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he saw the water begin to rise. Even in this situation, he said that I can save myself. I don't need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he decided, he said, I'll try to climb a mountain. He climbed the mountain And we mentioned before that even the mountains were engulfed in the water. And so Qana'an was also destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's a point for us to bear in mind. Qana'an was the son of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. We mentioned at the beginning that Prophet Nuh alayhi salam amongst the greatest prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet still, Qana'an was destroyed. So a lesson for us to learn that no matter who your father is, no matter who your family is, you have no rank in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except by piety, except through taqwa. If you don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, automatically you have no rank. Automatically there is no rank for you. Whether you be a Sayyid, even if there is a Sayyid who has disbelieved, we no longer respect him. Because he no longer believes, he has committed shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is from the fatwa of Ala Hazrat as well. That if a Sayyid has disbelieved in Islam, he is no longer even a Sayyid. We don't even call him from the Ahlul Bayt or the family of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The reason why I mention this is because what some people did recently, they somehow found the lineage of the queen. And they claimed that the queen was from the family of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and therefore we must respect her. This is absolutely bogus. There's no truth to this whatsoever. The Queen Elizabeth, the one that passed away, and her son Charles, both of them are disbelievers. They are not Muslims. They are the king. They are the king of England, and also the leader of the Church of England. To be the leader of a church, you must be a Christian. Charles and his mother were both Christians. I don't know if his mother was Elizabeth. It might be. I think. No. Yes. Okay. Whether he was his mother or not. But Elizabeth and Charles, some people claim that they were Sayyids. So we have to respect them. But the reality is, respect only comes with Islam. Respect only comes when you have that obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there's a Muslim who is a Sayyid, yes, we respect him. But if he's a non-Muslim who is a Sayyid, he is no longer even a Sayyid. That lineage is broken. That the blood lineage is no longer there. He is no longer a Sayyid. So this false propaganda that some people had, that you must respect the queen, you must show sadness at her birth, also with the king. Show sadness at her death, also with the king. There's none of this in Islam. He's a Christian, we treat him like a Christian. That there is no, respect for him on that level, that we don't respect him like a Muslim. Rather, we keep our distance. We say he's a Christian, chalo, that's it. We make dua for his guidance. We supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he guides the king to Islam, but that's it. We can't ask for anything further. Like with the story of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, the son of a great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was destroyed in the flood because he disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now finally, it's mentioned the ark of Nuh alayhi salam, as Allah Hazrat also mentions, this Nuh, the ark of Nuh alayhi salam sailed for 6 months. For half a year, the boat sailed. And eventually, the rain lasted for 40 days. After 40 days, the water remained. And the ship sailed for 40 days, for 6 months. Let me repeat that one more time. The water rained for 40 days and 40 nights. But the water remained for 6 months. And so the ark sailed for 6 months as well. And eventually, after 6 months, the ark landed on the Mount Judi, which is mentioned is in the Levant region. So it's mentioned is within the Asham. So the Syria, Palestine, this entire area is called Asham. It landed in this region. And Prophet Nuh alayhi salam and his companions, they dismounted from the ship, they came down from the mountain, and they established a city right next to the mountain. And this is where the first village came after the flood destroyed everything. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept what we said today. We also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive any errors that I've made in my talk. Astaghfirullah, 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 Rabbi min kulli dhambi wa atubu ilayh. Inshallah, tomorrow's speech will be regarding Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, and it will be done by Imam Mahin. So those of you able to come, inshallah, same time tomorrow after Sadr Asr, do attend inshallah and benefit from him. Jazakumullahu khair. Stand up for salatu salam.
يا حبيب أحمد مجتبى دل مبتلا كسلام لو يا حبيب أحمد مجتبى دل مبتلا كسلام لو جو وفا کی راہ میں کھو گیا جو وفا کی راہ میں کھو گیا اسی غم شدہ کا سلام لو میں طلب سے باز نہ آؤگا تو کرم کا ہاتھ برائے جا میں طلب سے باز نہ ہوگا تو کرم کا ہاتھ برائے جا تو کرم کا ہاتھ برائے جا جو تیرے کرم سے ہے آشنا جو تیرے کرم سے ہے آشنا اسے آشنا کا سلام لو اے حبیب احمد مجتبا یا رسول اللہ یا حبیب اللہ میرے آقا پیارے آقا میری حاضری ہو مدینے میں مل لطف مجھ کو بھی جینے میں میری حاضری ہو مدینے میں مل لطف مجھ کو بھی جینے میں مل لطف مجھ کو بھی جینے میں تیرا نور ہو میرے سینے میں تیرا نور ہو میرے سینے میں میری اس دعا کا سلام لو اے حبیب احمد مجتبا یا رسول اللہ یا حبیب اللہ میرے آقا پیارے آقا وہ حسین جس نے چھڑک کے کو چمن وفا کو ہرا کیا وہ حسین جس نے چھڑک کے کو چمن وفا کو ہرا کیا چمن وفا کو ہرا کیا اسی جان سار کا واسطہ اسی جان سار کا واسطہ کہ ہر ایک گدا کا سلام لو اے حبیب احمد مجتبا دل مبتلا کا سلام لو جو وفا کی راہ میں کھو گیا اسی غم شدہ کا سلام لو الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نور الله
الحمدللہ آج کی نیاز ہمارے طارق بھائی کی طرف سے ہیں اور ہمارے حاجی مشتاق صاحب ٹوپی والے کی طرف سے ہیں دعا کر اللہ تبارک و تعالی سے قبول فرمائے الفاتحہ اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم صلاه وسلاما عليك سيدي يا رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم یا اللہ یا رحمان یا ارحم الراحمین ہم یہ تیرے گنہگار بندے مسجد قباء میں حاضر ہوئے نماز عصر با جماعت ادا کی اس کے بعد ہم نے چھوٹی سی محرم کی محفل سجائی اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ اس کے کرنے میں کسی قسم کی کمی کوتاہی ہوئی ہو تو نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے واسطے سے معاف فرما اور اسے قبول فرما یا اللہ یا الرحمین بیان کرنے میں جو غلطیاں خطا ہوئی تم گاؤں غلطیوں خطاؤں کو تو بھی معاف فرما اور اسے قبول فرما اور جو ہمارے طارق بھائی کی طرف سے نیاز محبت حاجی مشتاق صاحب طرف سے نیاز محبت لا کے اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ تو اسے بھی قبول فرما وہ اپنے شایان شان اس کا جو ثواب تو نے ہم گنہگاروں کو عطا کیا ہے ان تمام ثوابوں کو سب سے پہلے نبی کریم صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علیہ وسلم کی بارگاہ بے قسمنا میں ہدیۃً و تحفۃً پیش کرتے ہیں اللہ اسے قبول و منظور فرما ان کے وسیلے جلیلس کا ثواب تمام انبیاء کرام تمام صحابہ کرام تابعین تبع تابعین دنیا کے تمام اولیاء کرام تمام علماء کرام حضرت آدم علیہ السلام سے لے کر اب تک جتنے مؤمنین مؤمنات دنیا سے جا چکے ہیں قیامت تک جتنے آئیں گے اور یہاں پہ جو حاضر ہیں ان کے مرحومین مغفورین کے ارواح کو پیش کرتے ہیں اللہ اسے قبول و منظور فرما بالخصوص بالخصوص اس کا ثواب شہدائے کرب و بلا کی روح کو پیش کرتے ہیں اللہ اسے قبول و منظور فرما یا اللہ یا الرحمین ہمارے طارق بھائی کے مشتاق صاحب کے جو بھی مرحومین مغفورین ہیں ان تمام کے ارواح کو پیش کرتے ہیں اللہ اسے قبول و منظور فرما یا اللہ مرحومین کی مغفرت فرما ان کے درجات کو بلند فرما جنت الفردوس میں اعلیٰ مقام عطا فرما نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی شفاعت اور زیارت نصیب عطا فرما یا اللہ اس مبارک دن کے صدقے طفیل اس مبارک وقت کے صدقے طفیل اس مبارک محفل کے صدقے طفیل یا اللہ ہم تمام کی تمام جائز دعاؤں کو قبول فرما یا اللہ ہم تمام کی صغیرہ کبیرہ گناہوں کو معاف فرما گناہوں کو معاف فرما کر نیکیوں میں تبدیل فرما ہم تمام کو حاسدین کے حسد سے محفوظ فرما ظالموں کے ظلم سے محفوظ فرما شریروں کے شرارتوں سے تو ہماری حفاظت فرما زمینی آسمانی ہر قسم کی بلا و مصیبت و آفتوں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما یا اللہ طرح طرح کے فتنے اٹھتے ہیں ان فتنوں سے تو ہماری ہمارے بچوں کی حفاظت فرما ہمارے ساتھ اٹھنے بیٹھنے والوں کی حفاظت فرما یا اللہ یا ارحم الراحمین ہم تمام کو عزت و وقار کے ماحول میں زندگی گزارنے کی توفیق رفیق عطا فرما دنیا کے تمام مسلمانوں کو بالخصوص فلسطین غزہ کے مسلمانوں کی جان کی مال کی عزت کی آبرو کی حفاظت فرما یا اللہ ہمیں مانگنا نہیں آتا ہم نے جو مانگا اسے دے دے اور جو مانگنے سے رہے گا اسے دے دے تو علیم و خبیر ہے تو دلوں کے بھید کو جانتا ہے یہ تیرے گنہگار بندے اپنے اپنے دلوں میں کون سی دعائیں لیے حاضر اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ ان تمام کی تمام جائز دعاؤں کو قبول فرما ہماری جو ماں اور بہنیں ریڈیو کے ذریعے دعا میں شریک ہیں یا اللہ انہیں بھی تندرستی عطا فرما ان تمام کی جائز دعاؤں کو قبول فرما یا اللہ یا الرحمین طارق بھائی کی روزی روزگار برکت عطا فرما ان کی محبتوں کو قبول فرما ان کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما آسانی عطا فرما ان کی تمام جائز دعاؤں کو قبول فرما ہمارے حاجی مشتاق صاحب کو تندرستی عطا فرما ان کی جائز دعاؤں کو قبول فرما ان کے صاحبزادے بیمار رہتے ہیں اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ انہیں تندرستی عطا فرما صحت کامل و عاجل عطا فرما آج دعا کی درخواست آئی ہے جو ہماری اسٹوڈنٹ ہے کل وہ اس کا آپریشن ہونے والا یا اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ اسے تندرستی عطا فرما یا اللہ کامیابیوں سے ہمکنار فرما آپریشن کو کامیابیوں سے ہمکنار فرما یا اللہ یا الرحمین کرم فرما اپنی رحمت النوار کی بارش فرما یہ جو بچے بیٹھے اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ ان بچوں کو نیک و صالح بنا والدین کا مطیع و فرما بردار بنا دین کا سپاہی بنا یا اللہ یا الرحمین ہم تمام کی برائیوں سے حفاظت فرما نیکیاں کرنے کی توفیق رفیق عطا فرما جو لوگ بھی اس نیاز میں دام دل میں قدم سخن حصہ لیتے ان تمام کو جزائے خیر عطا فرما تمام کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما یا ربی بالمصطفیٰ بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى یا واسع الکرم مولا یصلی وسلم دائما عبدا علی حبیبک خیر الخلق کلہم ان اللہ وملائکته یصلون علی النبی یا ایھا الذین آمنوا صلوا علیہ وسلموا تسلیما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم صلاه وسلاما عليك سيدي يا رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم لي خمسه نطفي بها حر الوباء الحاتمه المصطفى والمرتضى وابناهما والفاطمه سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين امين بحق لا اله الا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى علیکم السلام.